Access Mobile listening.
4MMW. How you doing, old man?
Mr. Man. Hey, God. I can't say that with a straight face. Good morning to you, Jimmy. How are you?
I'm another year older. Had a birthday back December, so I'm 69 now, so look out.
I didn't realize you were 69. Holy mackerel. So you're literally 10 years older than me.
You a baby. Yeah, if I was 10 years younger, you'd have to look out.
I have a comment for that, but no, not now.
Yeah. Oh, man. Where you hiding at now?
I just left J.L. Wynn. I'm heading your way.
I just crossed over Main Street of Taylor's on 29 here, so I'm on my way there. And we'll do our thing.
Absolutely. We're good to go here. No issues.
Gas, back down 29. $2.80 a gallon.
Man, I paid $2.96 the other day, and that was with my 5-cent discount at Sphinx.
I think it's slowly going down, thank God. It needs to be. They're not paying that much for that much oil. They said a month ago that it was going down, and it never started going down till about now.
Well, I don't know about that. I think there's a lot of falsehoods out there still.
I think there's a website somewhere that you can keep up with the price of oil. One of my neighbors was doing that one time just last year.
I don't travel as much with my vehicle as some people do, so I don't worry about, it's funny to say, but I don't worry about gas prices that much. You know, I don't sit here and count every nickel.
That's one of them. That lets you know where the cheapest gas is. There's another one out there that keeps up with the price of oil, crude oil.
Crude oil prices relate that closely to petrol prices, because crude oil is used for other things. But, you know, petrol for the car, diesel for the car, I guess that's where I'd go, is GasBuddy.com.
Got an app on her phone, and we get a little cash back type thing. So if I'm out traveling or something, we get on there and look and see which one we can get a little few cents back.
Used to do that, you know, shop around for 5 or 8 cents a gallon or whatever. But when you're looking at prices that are already north of $3 a gallon, even 10 cents or 15 cents doesn't matter that much. Well, at least not to me. I don't think I have more than about a 10-gallon tank.
See, that's the problem. A lot of these smaller cars, they don't need much gas. You go 350 miles on a small amount. But when you got a big truck and you put 27 gallons of gas in it, it matters a little bit.
So our retrailer.
Or the fifth wheel or whatever it is, yeah, that'll, I don't know if it'll double fuel consumption, but it'll increase it by half at least, I think. Yeah, I'm just, the little Toyota Prius hybrid electric thing is good for that. I don't think it's more than a 10 or 11 gallon tank, and I'd have to go 300 miles to empty it out. So as for myself, I always figure, 10 or even 20 cents a gallon isn't going to matter. It's going to be $2.
When that big monster camper truck gets like 10 miles a gallon, I mean, you're kind of babying it up down hills and that kind of stuff. But around town, on a highway, by the truck by itself get about 20. And around town here, about 16, 17. Depending on how many red lights I run up on it, as long as I don't get a heavy foot.
to drive one of those things. I've never tried to tow a trailer. Actually, towing, not so much the hard part, but backing up. Trailers back up funny.
Trailer, the easier to jackknife.
Right. And that big one, you just got to have a lot of room to swing the front end when you're backing it. And when you're making a turn, it's a feeling you get eventually in driving the vehicle, how wide a turn you got to make. I don't have to make a super duper wide turn, but I know how to kind of square off a little bit to make it move around. One of my problems with mine is the wheels on the camper are spaced about 2 foot apart instead of being about a foot. If you're backing that thing, and it doesn't, for me, it doesn't back quite exactly where I want it to, so I have to jiggle it around a little bit sometimes to get in the campsite.
Remember when she was alive, well, long before I knew her, she was an over-the-road trucker, and she even told me that's the part of the job I would usually let the co-driver, if there was one, I'd let him handle it. Okay, back the thing up to the loading dock, or whatever it is. So, I don't know, I've never been that great a driver myself, so I can understand how it's a skill.
For a lot of years, and what I was taught was it's all in the setup. When you pull in somewhere, it's how you set your truck up to back up. And that's, I've been pretty successful. I did a lot of household. I didn't do a lot of freight stuff, so I didn't bump a lot of docks. But it's all in the setup when you make turns.
Right. That's like when I got gas down there at 327 and 95 coming home from the beach. I got the gas. Everything was doing good. Started around the building, run up on the dead end. And I tell you what, then I get my wife out to watch everything in the back, as I could back up, get cars off of me, and then try to make some sort of turn. And then when I made the turn, then I cut my brake cable in two and locked up the brakes in this turn. So I was in a mess till I got everything unlocked and spliced it all back together, and then come on home, parked it.
A thousand interesting highway stories from my years driving the big rigs. I imagine it's a good job, especially now, unless you're an owner-operator, in which case it's a crappy job. But, you know, I think truckers are even coming out of retirement because the demand is such that we can't find qualified people.
On the road, and the heck with that. There's so many rules and regulations. The rules and regs changed years ago, and it's just, you know, against the truck driver. You can't get away with what you used to be able to get away with.
Things on a computer, timer, some sort of clock that reports to the satellite in the sky, and the main office can keep up with it, and they know everything you're doing. All they don't have is a camera in the, a truck. But there's plenty of jobs out there for the truckers if they got a license. My son hauls those containers up and down the road. They all the time looking for drivers. So if you got a license, it's out there. All right, I'm just about a street away from where I'm going. Dave, I'll see you over here. This other guy in here, you take care. And have a great day. This is N4MMW Mobile.
Hi, Jimmy.
K2BNG Mobile. I just jumped in, never gave a call sign. I guess the trucking business has changed. Mostly the fuel situation, the regulation situation. You know, it used to be a good business to be an owner-operator. Now I imagine you're probably dying.
I wasn't bad, I made a pretty good, I made pretty decent money, but nowadays, I wouldn't be on the road for nothing. No, it's between the insurances and the fuel pricing and all that stuff. No. No, thank you. I like what I'm doing now.
I forgot about that. Insurance and licensing fees, and I should know more as much as anyone, because do you know what it costs to try to just put a single cab on the road in, like, let's say, New York City, to have an actual licensed legal cab? By the time you get done with fees and permits and insurance, you're into north of $10,000 before you even get out on the road. So, yeah, the wonderful life of an owner-operator.
I'd rather work with somebody and, let somebody assume the responsibility. I just hold the steering wheel.
That, and I can see where, I would understand that. But, yeah, that was an ill-fated experience. Or it's just that maybe I wasn't in it with the right people. I mean, how does, in the Long Island or New York City area, how does a taxi cab lose money? But apparently it wasn't a good business, at least not for me.
I enjoyed what I did on the road. I spent almost 25 years out there with Allied Van Lines as an owner-operator. So I did good. You know, I saw a lot of nice things out there, and, but I'd never do it again. I mean, I had that experience, and I'm good.
Walk around the country and see things, and then realize that, gee, every part of the country kind of looks the same as almost every other part of the country, with a couple of exceptions.
A commercial tourist.
Yeah, someone's paying you to be a tourist. A commercial tourist, okay.
Well, what was nice about that was whenever I stopped and, wherever I had my breaks or whatever, if I was empty waiting on a load or something, I always found something to do. Not being a big drinker or anything like that, so I stayed out of the bars. I would go to amusement parks or, museums, and, I went to the Ford Museum one year and, just enjoyed myself that way, Or, hit a go-kart track somewhere along the way,
As you said, you did it for quite a while. It was fun, but you'd rather really not be doing it now,
I choose not to do that, absolutely.
I'd rather have done something like that than have sat at a desk for 30 years. Doing what? Writing code for computer programs that nobody cares about. So, I sometimes wish I'd actually had a real job.
Well, again, I enjoyed what I did. So, anyway, I'm getting close to my destination. Got to get here and get this taken care of. Get this fella warming, and get it done. You have a good day. KB2HXS will be out of here.
HXS, KD2BNG, 73s, and we'll talk to you later.
Alrighty, sir. Have a good day. Stay warm.